Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, Nick Kieser. With you on this Tuesday, a lot going on in the NFL. We haven't even mentioned that it looks like the Jets and Packers have finally agreed to a trade.
It took a 10-minute nap and it happened.
It happened. And here's what I love about that before we get into the S2 testing. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, did a press conference yesterday, and it was his pre-draft press conference that he already had planned. Literally minutes after the trade gets out. And it's not completed yet. It's not official. And so he's getting asked all these questions about the trade. And he didn't deny it. He's like, look, it's basically done, but there's a few things that we still have to do. And he keeps getting asked about it. And he's like, guys, look, we're going to talk again. It's not done yet. Like, I can't give you all the details yet. And, like, you could tell. But it's like, what do you do? Like, you could have canceled the press conference, but you didn't. And so – of course, they're going to ask you about it. And it's like, I kind of felt bad for the guy because he's like, I know you're going to keep asking me about it, but I can't really answer everything, so I don't really know what to do.
It's like, you should have moved it up just an hour earlier. That was like the end of season press conference with Mike Vrabel. And then, right, just a couple hours later, was it that Todd Downing will be relieved of...
He did that so on purpose. He already knew.
Packers got to take a rule out of Rabel's book. But no, it was funny, honestly, when it only was Brian Carthon yesterday in my head. I was like, Rabel doing some last-minute meetings, I was like, is there about to be some breaking news that's going to come out after this press conference or something? And maybe that's just me. Like, anything can happen during this draft season because of the draft trade day thing. The A.J. Brown trade we saw happen last year. But
you know
excited.
What I totally could see happening? Like, they're getting ready to do this press conference and like an hour before, and Vrabes looks at him and goes, hey, why don't you just handle this today? And Rand's like, okay, I got you. And Vrabel's thinking like, oh, I was just kidding. But cool. Yeah, no, you got it.
Well, they're a good combo because, you know, Mike Vrabel has to do so many of them during the season, whereas we only hear from Rand Carthon, really. I mean, he had his introductory one. He spoke at the combine to a couple reporters, owners meeting. This one, he'll speak after the draft. But, you know, then it's Vrabel who's got to take the reins for the whole season.
I'm glad you brought this up because, like, when you came in and, you know, were – you know, kind of started doing this. John had been here for a few years. When John first started, he did a lot more media than he did towards the end. Like, he was on this. Now, a lot of it had to do with Floyd, but he was on it with this station a lot. He was doing more press conferences. You saw him do more media appearances. And then, you know, as generally happens, you get a couple of missed picks and, you know, things like that. And you don't do as much. He wasn't having to sell the brand as much because the team was having success. And so he was accessible, but he didn't do a whole lot. And I'm wondering, you know, Rand right now, he's got to sell the brand. He's got to sell his brand. So I think you will see him do a little bit more than maybe you saw John Robinson do towards the end.
Yeah, and honestly, Chase, I came in during the 2021 season.
Yeah.
The number one seed, Derrick Henry gets injured season. And I would say 95% of the press conferences.
Right.
I never heard him.
Yeah.
So true, you know, like he was here for a while, and then obviously he gets fired in the middle of the last season.
Right. So S2 testing. This came up yesterday with Rand Carthon. You asked Mark Dominic about it too. Brandon Alley from S2 was on with Robbie and Rex Road earlier today. This is the hot topic right now. And one of the things that I took away from Rand Carthon was I still think that they're learning how they can use this. Mm-hmm. They know what it's meant to do, but they're still learning how they can use this. This was Rand Carthon yesterday when he was asked about S2 and what it means. Do we got it yet? Okay, we'll get in a second. But S2, and I think that as this evolves, teams will be able to use it even more to their benefit.
Yeah, I agree, Chase. And I've been really, really, really interested in it, especially as we've seen more come out of it. We've seen scores. I mean, it's been around for 8 years now. And traditionally, it was only one team per division. That's how they started off. Now there's only 15 teams in the league who have access to this S2 testing. So everybody's still trying to navigate how it works and how they can use it to their benefit and their advantage when it comes to drafting players.
We got it yet, Nick?
Do you expect, man, for that to be, I guess, a bigger part of the evaluation of quarterbacks here, you know, league-wide moving forward?
Well, it's not. I mean, S2 doesn't just evaluate quarterbacks. You know, it's every player. So again, it's a part of the analytic piece. It's not the end all be all, but it's just another way for us to use and evaluate players. And whatever the test scores are, they are what they are, and it makes us go back and do homework. You know, whether one way or the other.
So right before that, he said, you know, that he's still learning it, and that was the big thing that I wanted. He's still learning how it works. And when he said that, I was like, I have a feeling that that is probably the answer from a majority of the general managers around the league.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you look at a team like the Titans that historically has not used analytics a whole lot, and I put this in the analytics category, that he's trying to build that analytic department. He's bringing in his people that can help with that. I think as they learn it more, it's just going to be more beneficial, and it's going to be one of those standard type tests that they use moving forward when it comes to evaluating players.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we had Brandon Alley on this morning, and it was really interesting to hear him explain the purpose of the test, how it came to be this test. You know, it wasn't specifically for the NFL. They really wanted to use it in youth sports, too, to help kids. And, of course, now it's become a huge topic this year of conversation. But as I mentioned before, it's been here for 8 years, and only a certain amount of teams had it. Now 15 teams have it. And basically, what it can do is it can be a tool to evaluate a player. It can be a decision maker. I'm sorry. So say your franchise looks at Anthony Richardson and Will Levis the exact same, and you think, okay, you know, we can measure their vertical, we can measure their 40, we can measure their arm strength, how fast they can release the football, right? Their some of their decision making on film. We can see what they look like in their college offenses. And we can see, yes, these are two intelligent young men, but how do we measure the brain? How do we put them in NFL-like situations where we can simulate them being on a field? And Brandon was going on to tell us, you know, we can simulate it how there's a linebacker, you know, blitzing him. How do you react, and what does your brain do in that moment? So they can actually measure something like that, which I think is very, very interesting. They're still, you know, figuring out how they can, you know, advance this even further. We're seeing virtual reality, right? How can different technologies help measure this? Is it the end-all be-all? No, it's not the end-all be-all. But the interesting thing is CJ Stroud coming out, and Mark Dominic mentioned this, right? If that is his true score, and Hendon Hooker's true score is the 46 of those released, you know, and they are successful, we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
We've seen the guys, the Mahomes, the Burrows, the Purdy's who've gotten high in the 90s, and we've seen them be successful. But is there somebody who didn't do as well and can overcome it?
Yeah, because I think ultimately it's gonna be a useful tool, but it's also going to add to the overthinking of GMs because
Yes. You
can sit and look at a guy like CJ Stroud and go, okay, what I see on film and what I've seen in games tell me that, okay, this could be a dude that I would want on my team. But then the S2 test, you know, if he did get an 18, is telling me, oh, okay, cognitively he's not thinking like he should. So do you go eye test or do you go analytics? That is the question, and you got to find the balance. But Chris on our text line, driven by WilsonKennyHoney.com, says, I would pay for Jared to be S2 tested because you know he can be a quarterback in the league. Make it happen.
Did you hear? So Joe had taken it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he asked about his score, and Brandon goes, well, let me just say you do really good at what you do, and you're not out there on Sundays.
That. Yeah, I heard that. That was really good. So coming up next, going back to the quarterback discussion with the Titans, and what I took away from Rand Carthon yesterday, and I believe will happen, we'll discuss that. Also, Matt Eumanns from VSiN coming up at 10:30. We'll talk some sports betting with the draft with him. That is all ahead here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The personal side of these guys and the rumors that come out about their contracts, and it seems like it's been very persistent with rumors about Ryan, including yesterday on SportsCenter. Can you make it easier on the player, in this case on Ryan, to shut it down and say, no, like Ryan will be the quarterback this year?
So just to let you guys in, Ryan and I had a conversation back in February that was between Ryan and I and Ryan and our organization. So Ryan knows where he stands with us, and that's really all that matters to me.
Rand Carthon, Titans general manager, yesterday at his press conference. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talk some sports betting coming up in about 15 minutes with Matt Eumanns of VSiN. Looking forward to that. So here's what I think. Talked about this a little bit earlier. I believe him when he says they had a conversation, and I think the conversation was, hey, Ryan, even though it's February, hey, Ryan, just so you know, we're looking at quarterbacks. We might end up taking one at the draft, but just wanted to make you aware of that, you know, we, you know, understand your contract situation. You got a year left on your contract. We're kind of thinking towards the future. I'm in here evaluating what we need at that position and every position, but just so you know, we might end up taking a quarterback. Now, he said that they talked in February. I wonder if they've had any conversations since then, because we've heard him say Ryan's been in the building, all those things. We don't know. I like it when he says, like, I'm going to let you guys in, and then he kind of cracks the door open. Like, so that's basically what it is.
We're peeking through the little.
Yeah, that's his prerogative as GM. But I think that is kind of the gist of it, that basically Ryan Tannehill knows they might take a QB.
Bless you, Chaser. I agree. Well, and this quarterback class is a lot different than last year's quarterback class, right? I mean, there really was. Although, I will say, the week leading up to the draft, people were talking about Malik Willis. Like, he could still be a first-round pick. You know, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral. But this quarterback class is looked at significantly different. You know, we're talking about five guys who could potentially all go in the top 20. I mean, and three of them top five. And four top 10, right? And that's just assuming that, you know, Will Levis or a Hendon Hooker drops. But apparently the betting odds right now, Will Levis going number one overall. So we don't even know.
Yeah, that's the crazy part is if you look at, and this is, certain books have different odds and everything. But what I have seen out there is Will Levis's numbers has moved up to being the number one overall pick. Like, I'm looking at one right now. He's plus 700. That Bryce Young's still the favorite at minus 1,500, but now you're seeing things shoot up that say Will Levis could go number one overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, especially with everything that's come out of the Houston organization, which we will have John McClain on Thursday morning at 10:30. And he, if there's anything going on with that organization, he knows. He's been covering the NFL and them for forever, but it is interesting that there have been rumblings that they don't love CJ Stroud. Could they take a guy like Will Levis over him, right? We just don't know. Are they even going to take a quarterback? That's also been thrown out there. I mean, if that happens, and then there goes CJ Stroud falling to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And as you point to Good Morning Football, Rand Carthon on there this morning.
Yeah, I can see myself Thursday when we have John on, just starting the interview with John. what the hell are the Houston Texans going to do? And he'll probably laugh and might say, I don't know. I have no idea.
So like, well, they could do this, this, or this. But, I mean, the biggest question is, are they going to stay at two, I believe? Because if they draft C.J. Stroud, will I be surprised? No. If they draft another quarterback, yeah, I'll probably be pretty surprised. But my biggest question is if they don't draft a quarterback. I think it would be, I mean, if you're going to stay there and draft Will Anderson, I mean, you probably still could get him if you traded with the Colts.
Right.
You know, and the Colts would need to get their guy.
So what they're doing on NFL Network right now is they're doing like mock trades, like they're the GM. And so they just showed it that if they're Rand Carthon, they would trade 11, 41, and a 2024 second to Detroit to move up to six.
Wow, that's a pretty big.
That's a decent.
I'm
going to be honest with you. Like, I am less inclined to give up 41 because I feel like 41's where you're going to get the receiver. Mm-hmm. I think you can land a receiver for a good receiver at 41. So that's why I'm not really subscribing to this business of moving up, because you're going to have 41's going to have to be a part of it. And that I wouldn't want to lose that.
Yeah, I wonder if you could do, you know, you switch, they take 11, you go up to 6, give them your third round.
They're going to want 41, I think.
I was going to say, and then second next year.
Yeah, but
try,
I mean,
to offset it.
Yeah, potentially, but I think
it would be a hard sell.
I think they're going to want 41. I think any move up into the top 10, or, you know, especially if you're going in the top 5, your 41's got to be a part of the package.
Yeah, that's tough too, because, you know, we look at this team and it's like, if you're going to get your quarterback, you are going to suffer in other areas, because especially if you have to trade up to 6 or you're trading up to whatever position, you're going to need 41 to then get to at least give Treylon Burks a second option at wide receiver.
Right. Because, and again, like, if Levis, I'm kind of getting the vibe that they like Levis. But as Mark Dominic said, you know, when I asked about Levis and Richardson, he's like, I wouldn't chase those guys. Like, let them come to you. If they're there, mm-hmm. if they're still on the board and you're getting close to your pick, or obviously you would hope they fall to you at 11, then that's when you take them. But he would be hesitant to move up, and I would too. If Levis is there at 11, then and they feel like that's their guy, then okay.
You're
not giving up anything.
I agree with that, but, well, actually, I don't agree with that. If you believe he's your guy, you do everything to get him, right? I don't want them just to pick, just wait for him at 11 and be like, oh, we're going to pick him now, right? Because if you truly believe that he is your guy and he is your next quarterback and you're using your 11th overall pick for him, you got to be willing to go up and get him if you think he's going to be the future of this franchise.
But, like, top 5? Go up into the...
If you believe... Listen, I am not a quarterback evaluator. If you believe that he is your quarterback of the future, you do everything to go up and get him. I don't think that, you know, the mindset heading into this draft should be, well, at 11, we're just going to hope that Will Levis drops. And then at 11, you know, we're going to take him. Because I feel like that is the mindset of, oh, yep, he dropped and we got him. But if you truly believed he was your guy, you'd do anything to go get him. Then use that 11th overall pick on a wide receiver or an offensive lineman or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough.
I think in a perfect world, and we don't live in a perfect world, if one of those guys that I've identified that I like at quarterback fall to me at 11, then I do it. If not, then honestly, I'm trying to in whoever, you know, if there's a player if there is not a player I like there at 11, then I'm moving back and adding more picks. Because I think this is a draft where...
If somebody wants to move up.
Yeah, I think this is a draft where it makes sense to try and add more picks.
Yeah, I agree.
I definitely think that.
I agree. If they don't think that one of these guys is their quarterback. But the question is, do they have a guy? And who is their guy?
Right.
Because I feel like they might have a guy.
I think they might have a guy, and I think his name is Will Levis.
I do too.
I mean, that's really what I'm starting to think, because he wasn't as – I mean, you know, he talked about Stroud a little bit and, like, the visit with Stroud, but He kind of basically said Mike's handled that. And you know, I get it. They're Vrabel's going to get a little more insight on C.J. Stroud because he and Ryan Day are very close. He's obviously close to the Ohio State program. And so, you know, he's able to make some phone calls and get information on Ohio State players more so than he would, you know, Northwestern or another school.
Yes, but I go back to something that Mark Dominic said. He said, you know, one of the hardest things to be able to figure out is their heart. And you do that by bringing them into your organization and getting to know them and evaluating and taking them out to dinner or whatever they do to try to get to know these guys. And they didn't do that with C.J. Stroud. They did not bring him in here to Nashville to get to know him. I understand, you know, Mike Vrabel has all the connections at Ohio State, but Rand Carthon kept harping on it yesterday. I want to get to know the person. And they didn't bring C.J. Stroud in here to get to know him.
Raymond on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com, says, if all the rumors are true about Henry being in play, that should offset pick at 41. I just don't see you getting a second-round pick for Derrick
Henry. You also have to find somebody who's willing to take on his contract that's right. $10 million a year. That's a big, big part of it. You can't just say, oh, yeah, here's Derrick Henry. I mean, it could be a team in a cap situation, and if they're taking on Derrick Henry, they're probably in a go-for-it mode, and their cap is probably not looking great.
Yeah.
So
No doubt about it. Coming up next, Matt Eumanns from VSiN. He's the VSiN Tonight host and senior editor for them. What has been the odds movement on Will Levis to potentially move up to one overall? We will discuss that with him. Coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic. You know, on 94.9 The Fan, you can also hear the VSiN Network, which includes our next guest, Matt Eumanns of VSiN, host of VSiN Tonight, is on the line with us now. Matt, how are you?
Morning, Matt.
Hey, doing great. Ready for the NFL draft on Thursday. I think this is going to be one of the most unpredictable top tens of the draft we've seen in a long time.
Oh, I think it's going to be drunk. That's what I've been saying, and I love that. You know, for what we do, it obviously makes it exciting. But how about Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky, and his movement? I've seen, like, his odds of going number one overall. They're changing drastically as we get closer to Thursday.
Yeah, I'm not really buying that. That was a Reddit post by somebody anonymously today that says he's a friend of the family, and Will Levis is telling people that he's going to Carolina at number one and that the Texans are taking Bryce Young number two. Now, I do know the Texans would love to have Bryce Young at number two, and they're not interested in any of the other quarterbacks. So we'll see what develops there. But I'm not really buying the Will Levis hype at number one. You know, you just – all the NFL reporters out there who have reliable sources throughout the league – and how many of them are reporting Will Levis is going to go one? None. And we got one guy on Reddit who's mentioning it. And all of a sudden the odds drop from Will Levis about 50-1 to go number one to 4-1. I just don't I don't think that's a reliable enough source to bank on. I do think Levis is going to go in the top four. I've got some bets on Levis under 4.5 in his draft position. I think the Colts covet the Kentucky quarterback at number four. We'll see if the Titans maybe try to trade up and jump the Colts to get Levis at number three. I'm not sure about that, but I do think Levis, if you're betting this draft, Levis to be drafted before C.J. Stroud is a good play, and Levis to go in the top four, but I'm not going to bet on him to go number one.
So what do you think a smart bet would be for number two overall? Would it be quarterback, or would it be somebody like a Tyree Wilson or a Will Anderson?
I think it was between Anderson and Wilson. And, you know, that's assuming that Bryce Young is the number one pick by Carolina. Texans are going to go, I think when all is said and done, they're going to go Anderson at number two. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to have a little bit more faith in the Alabama linebacker, who Nick Saban says is the hardest worker he's ever had in the program. And Will Anderson, if you think of it, a year ago at this time, his stock was off the charts. He had 17.5 sacks, 31 tackles for loss. Yeah, he had a little bit of a down year in terms of production and numbers in 2022, but he's still the guy I think the Texans are going to target at number two. And I've actually heard they've got him number one on their draft board. We'll see if it plays out that way. But I think Anderson's going to be the guy at number two. And actually, you can bet that right now at around 3-1, 5-1 odds, depending. You got to shop around different sports books. But 5-1 on Will Anderson to go number two, I think, is a really good bet, assuming that Bryce Young is that quarterback that goes number one. And actually, DraftKings has got Bryce Young at minus 1,600 right now to be number one. So that's a 1-16 favorite, and that's pretty substantial. So I would go – my mock draft's got, and the way I'm betting it, is Bryce Young one, Will Anderson two, and then really who the hell knows what's going to happen at number three, because the Cardinals want to trade down. They went out of that spot. Maybe there's a team like the Titans that are – going to get a little bit over-anxious and want to draft a quarterback and move up to that number three spot. But right now I've got Tyree Wilson going number three to the Cardinals and Levis going number four to the Colts.
Matt Eumanns is with us from VSiN. And I think what's so interesting is outside of Young, you know, trying to pick the second quarterback drafted, that's where you can really find the value, because you could sprinkle a few, you know, sprinkle some bets on Stroud or Anthony Richardson or Levis. As you mentioned, I haven't seen that in a long time when it comes to quarterbacks in the draft.
Right. And this is – you have five quarterbacks here who could go in the first round, because Hendon Hooker from Tennessee is really starting to create a lot of buzz, and reliable sources around the league are saying he's going to be picked maybe in the middle of the first round. So, but you also have to keep in mind that last year at this time, there were a lot of people saying that Malik Willis could be a first-rounder, that Matt Corral could be a first-rounder. I was trying to think who was the other quarterback that went last year. Oh, Desmond Ridder. A lot of people were saying these guys could be first-round picks, and they all went in the third round. So I also think the media gets a little bit crazy when it comes to hyping these quarterbacks, and they love to see them picked in the first round. There's a lot of pressure on the teams to pick quarterbacks in the first round because fans love that. But I'm not really sure five are going to go. But Hendon Hooker is creating a lot of buzz here, and I can make a case for him. His number's been off the charts the last 2 years. If he's not 25 with a blown knee and coming back from that injury, I think you would be looking at him as a top 10 pick. So maybe some teams are saying, hey, there's some value in taking Hendon Hooker around the number 20 spot. Who knows? Right now, I would not bet against five quarterbacks. But I think I do have a bet on Will Levis being the second quarterback off the board at plus 140, 7-5 odds. I still think Levis is that number two guy. You probably saw the report last week about the C2 cognitive test, and that test is given to quarterbacks. It's kind of a study of how quick they make decisions and things like that. And Bryce Young scored 98, almost a perfect score, and C.J. Stroud scored 18. I mean, if that's not a red flag, I'm not sure what is. And if you've had a chance to read that story, I think it would kind of convince you that, hey, C.J. Stroud could slip out of the top 10 in this draft. And then that was a guy who was projected to go number one for a while. What's going to happen with these quarterbacks? You said drunk. It is going to be crazy, I think, on Thursday night. It's going to be crazy.
Yes, I agree. We got Matt Eumanns on from VSiN on with us. So correct me if I'm wrong, but – you finished third last year in mock drafts out of 1,800?
Something like that. You know what? It was probably a lot of luck. It was probably a lot of luck. Because I did have a pretty good feel for how last year's draft was going to unfold. And I was pretty confident going into last year's draft. Now, I'm not as confident this year.
Yes, and Chase and I have discussed that the amount of quarterback hype, the quarterbacks viewed as very polarizing to some people think Anthony Richardson is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. Some people think he's going to be a bust. What about specific – do you have any good odds on specific teams drafting a quarterback?
Actually, I did take a shot on – I took a shot on Anthony Richardson to go to the Falcons at 16-1. And that's a little bit outside the box thinking. But if he drops a little bit, the Falcons love to run the ball. If you look at the top rushing offenses in the league a year ago, I think Anthony Richardson would fit in with what the Falcons want to do offensively. And I do think he's going to slip. I bet him over 3.5, over 4.5 for his draft position, because Michael Lombardi, who's a former NFL GM on our network, he says he thinks Anthony Richardson is 2 years away from being a year away from ready to play. Not many teams can draft somebody like that and sit back and wait for him to develop. I think the Falcons could, and in fact, he's such a raw athlete, so explosive that maybe you could plug him in and make him a running back type of quarterback. Maybe he could be the next Michael Vick for the Falcons. I don't know. You can find some odds out there. If you have a strong intuition of, hey, I think this team's going to take this quarterback, you can find some good odds on these because there's a lot of teams in play for a lot of different quarterbacks. I mean, just look at the Titans, for example. Mm-hmm. I think they could sit at 11 and C.J. Stroud might slip to them. Or if they like Anthony Richardson, he could slip there. Now, Peter King's got sources all over the NFL. He puts out a mock draft today, and he's got Anthony Richardson going number 23.
Wow.
You know, and some people have been saying, oh, Anthony Richardson, he could go number one, he could go number four, and Peter King's saying 23. I've got him to the Falcons at number eight. I mean, that just shows you can't find some odds value on these quarterbacks with specific teams. You got to hunt around to different sports books. But yeah, take a shot. I mean, who do you got? Who do you think the Titans are going to take? Who do you think they really like at quarterback?
We're thinking Will Levis.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel like great about it, but that's just kind of the gauge that I have on it with, you know, Brant Carthon spoke yesterday, the GM, and I just, it just kind of a hunch I have.
You know, I could see the Titans actually trading up to the three spot with the Cardinals and taking Levis. If they think, hey, we got to jump the Colts because that's the quarterback the Colts covet, let's trade with the Cardinals and move up to that spot and jump the Colts. I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. I could also see the Titans just sitting there at 11 and hoping that one of the guys they like falls to them. Levis is not going to fall that far, but Stroud or Richardson might. But, yeah, that's definitely in play. I think the more I look at this, the more I think it's realistic that the Titans could move up to that three spot to get Will Levis if they really do like him.
And I think, you know, the consensus is a lot of us feel very confident they will draft a quarterback. And then, you know, we'll get to draft day, and because it's so unpredictable to be an offensive lineman at 11 or something like that. Matt Youmans from VSiN on with us right now. If you have one lock for somebody out there who is maybe new to betting and wants to test it out on the NFL draft, what is a lock that you have heading into this year's draft?
But we'll have us under 4.5.
Oh, okay.
To go pick 1, 2, 3, or 4. I've got about 4 different bets on Levis and played him at different prices under 4.5 because I'd heard about 10 days ago that the Colts loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, he's not getting past the Colts at 4. Somebody might try to jump the Colts to get him, but I'm gonna bet him under 4.5 because I believe he's not slipping past the Colts there. Now, those prices have really skyrocketed here in the past 10 days. So I think a better bet right now might be Anthony Richardson over 4.5. You can get a more reasonable price on that. I do not see any team in the top four taking Richardson. And I think there's a decent chance, you know, like I said, he slips to 8 or he slips out of the top 10. Hey, Peter King says 23. So I think that's probably the best bet you can find right now is probably just play Richardson over 4.5 in his draft position.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I know that much. And good luck on all your bets and appreciate the time today. And we'll be listening on VSiN as I know you will break it all down. But thanks so much.
Thanks, Matt.
We will. Hey, you bet. Thanks.
Matt Youmans from VSiN. He's senior editor and host of VSiN Tonight on the VSiN Network. And, of course, you can hear that as a part of 94.9 The Fan, our sister station. So have enjoyed having them on with us. You can give him a follow on Twitter at MattYumans247 as well. We've covered a lot of the draft today, but I do have to get something off my chest because I saw the future last night and I saw something come to an end. We will discuss that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
LeBron's got the ball. 35 seconds remaining. 10 seconds to shoot. LeBron driving to the rim and in! Boss off foul! LeBron flexing in front of the crowd and the Lakers lead 113-108.
That's how it sounded last night. Game number four between the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And there was a moment before that. That was in overtime. But with 0.8 seconds left, LeBron James drives to the basket, lays it in, ties it up, forces overtime. Yes, Memphis calls a timeout. They feed the ball to Ja. Ja goes to shoot it. AD says, not in my house. And then LeBron actually hits the basically the half-court shot, but it was well after the clock had expired.
Basically, he hits it.
Oh, he hit it,
though. He turns around and
– But when LeBron made that layup and tied it up, I said to myself, I was like, this is over. This is going to overtime. Lakers are going to win. This series is over. Now, what I think is going to happen is I think the Grizzlies will win tomorrow. They'll win in Memphis, but then he goes back to L.A. and the Lakers will close it out. It's going to be I just don't see, with as banged up as they are, Ja's not 100%. You know, you could tell he was shaking the hand last night. It was It was starting to bug him. I don't see them winning three games in a row to win this series.
Yeah, it'll be a very, very tall task. You know, I look at this series. They didn't even have Steven Adams. They didn't have Ja for a game. And their team against a Lakers team that is finally playing together, they look cohesive. Anthony Davis with a 31-point performance the other night. Incredible performance from him. All you got to do is tell LeBron he's old. And that'll be a motivating factor. I mean, he was 22-20 last night. This Lakers team looks really good,
Yeah. Honestly.
I mean, they just look confident. They look together. Anthony Davis is playing at a high level. LeBron's playing at a high level. And I know that throughout the year when they had Russell Westbrook and everybody was making fun of them, that they weren't going to make the playoffs and they barely sneak in. And they get some pieces. D'Angelo Russell, right? Jared Vanderbilt. Obviously, AD and LeBron. I mean, the team looks good. Memphis is beat up. And honestly, too, Joe brought up a good point. This Memphis team has just had a lot of, like, between Dylan Brooks's, a lot of his comments and problems and attitude towards Draymond and now LeBron. And Jaws had some issues this year and a lot of off-the-court stuff. And it's hard to root for a team like that now. You know, they were the underdogs. And who wants to root for the Lakers with LeBron and AD because they're so dominant? But
I know, but, like, what's funny is I'm kind of finding myself drifting that way because, like, Dylan Brooks, like, dude, shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Mm-hmm. You can't back it up. You want to talk the talk and walk the walk, then back it up. You can't do that.
Well, and the worst part about it is that Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant snuck out of the locker room last night, so they didn't have to do post-game media availability. And it's like, if you're going to say these things and you're going to be, as Ja, one of the faces of the NBA and one of the best players in the NBA, you need to also be able to stand up after a loss and speak on your team and be a leader.
I can't stand that.
Think about how many times LeBron has been in a situation where, you know, he had an awful loss in the playoffs or in the finals and, you know, sat there and
yeah.
And now, took it and
he
just
did
said,
give it. He did give us a great gift where he put his sunglasses on and walked out of a press conference. But
sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
But at least he showed up. By the way, I have received the text that I've been waiting for today from one Rick Merritt that says, didn't someone say Lakers in five? Well, I don't think they win tomorrow. I think Memphis survives one more day. But
hey, listen, it's only been four games, Ricky.
I know.
Don't take your victory lap yet.
I know. He likes to do that. He likes to take his victory lap.
You got to be careful. You just got to be silent.
And then all of a sudden, I don't hear from him for a while. But
do the opposite, right? Wait till it happens, and then we will be glad to give you your victory lap.
Speaking of victory, let's give some people a victory lap. Caller number three at 615-737-1025 will win a four-pack of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship at Nissan Stadium this Saturday. But you also must tell Nick Kieser that he's doing a great job. So
oh,
when Nick answers
go.
The phone, I want you to say, Nick, you're doing a fantastic job. 615-737-1025. No smirk, nothing. He's locked in. He's the reporter. Is he listening right now, or is he just ignoring me?
Yes, I listen to everything that you say, Chase.
Good, as you should. That is a wise move that you should, because, you know, I know some stuff, something like that. So anyway, they will play game five tomorrow. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
And I will be there covering it.
Yeah, you are
five,
going.
So we will have coverage from there on my Twitter and also 102.5 The Game. Big game.
Just stay with Teresa Walker and you'll be fine.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That is the way
my
to go.
My girl T, she's the best.
NHL playoffs last night. I got to say, I was surprised that I'm not surprised about overtime because that just seems to be the way of the world right now. I was surprised that the Devils tied it up.
I was too.
I thought that the Rangers would take a 3-1 lead. So the Devils win 3-1, and that series is now tied. It's been road teams in that series getting it done. Toronto on the road again, needed overtime again. They take a 3-1 lead.
I will say it would be the most Toronto thing ever to lose and have Tampa just win every game.
Yeah, but
3-1. They're looking good. You're right. They're looking good.
They're 3-1, and it'll go back to Toronto, so they can close it out at home in game number five. The Kraken need overtime, but they tie that series up at 2, beating Colorado 3-2. And then before that, Vegas took a 3-1 lead in the series, winning 4-2 over Winnipeg at home. I was kind of thinking Winnipeg could tie that series up, but now it's 3-1 as it shifts back to Vegas, so Vegas can close it out. That was such a hard series to figure out. I thought Winnipeg could put up a fight, or Vegas could just flex and end up winning the series. So I kind of feel like Vegas is going to close it out.
Yeah, I agree, Chase. And, you know, Winnipeg had a really – they had a tough stretch in just making sure they secured a playoff spot towards the end of the season. So I think they're losing a little bit of steam. But to your point about some of the other matchups that we've seen, I mean, I didn't think Seattle be able to give the Avs a little run for their money. We thought the Rangers were going to go ahead and sweep it after the first night. New Jersey Devils have been able to make that a fun series up there in New York, New Jersey. And I will say, Toronto, I'm not giving the win to Toronto yet. I think Tampa, because there's just some fluky stuff happening. You know, I look at the game on Saturday when I was in Tampa watching it. And you look at the one goal that got taken back. I mean, that was a momentum shifter for this series. And now Toronto's taken the last two. So definitely going to be interesting next couple of games. And then we've also got NBA action. Tomorrow be game 5 if the Lakers win in Memphis. Memphis is knocked out. Lakers move on. And then I think Sacramento and Warriors are tonight. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Thursday.
Okay.
Oh, Nick, no.
I was about to say, did somebody tell you that you're doing a good job?
No, it's tomorrow.
Actually, no, but he was very thankful and was a first-time winner.
Okay. Well, I'll take that. I just want you to know that we all appreciate you.
Let's see. Wait a minute. Actually, it's tomorrow. So the game is Wednesday, Warriors-Kings.
Okay. And then, tonight, Hawks, Celtics, Timberwolves, Nuggets, Clippers, Suns. That's what we got there.
Suns will close it out.
I think all three series get closed out.
Yeah, so Suns, Celtics, and Nuggets.
Heavy favorites. Like,
oh, yeah, 13 Boston, and a half.
Boston's like 13, 13 and a half. Nuggets are 10. Suns are 12 and a half. So
I think I don't think they'll cover those, but I think they'll all close out of the series.
Yeah, how about the Heat? How about Robbie Stanley's Heat?
56 points by Mr. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Buckets. 56 points, 9 rebounds last night for them as they win. It was close, but they won 119 to 114 against the Bucks.
Robbie was ready to throw the towel in when they were in the playing game a couple weeks ago, and now he's like, ooh.
Yeah,
we might close it out.
I think that might have been a little bit of a reverse jinx.
Hey, I'll take it. The Heat are looking good, and I actually like them to win that series. Giannis isn't fully healthy. I mean, I know he played, but I really like the Heat in this one.
Tonight in the NHL, Islanders and Carolina. Carolina wins that series, or leads that series 3-1. Could close it out tonight. Minnesota and Dallas tied at 2. Mm-hmm. That one in Dallas. Kings, Edmonton tied at 2. That one in Edmonton. Man, I don't know. Both those series are so much fun.
Can the Oilers come out a little bit more oomph and not scare their fans like they did the other night?
I think I'd go Edmonton tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas tonight. I think home teams win.
I like that pick. I like those picks. And then, as we said, I think the favorites in every NBA game are taking it home and closing out those series.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I watched NBA a little bit more last night. And a little Monday Night Raw. But I'm going to be on NHL tonight.
Well, perfect. You be on NHL. I'll be on NBA.
Yeah, there you go. We'll report back tomorrow. Actually, I am not here tomorrow. I have to do a meeting tomorrow. Junie Riddle will be here.
And tune in at 10:45 this time tomorrow because we will be putting mayo in our coffee in honor of the draft.
Yeah, I do want to say this since I won't be on tomorrow. You know, as most of you know that have listened for a while, I lost my dad a couple of years ago. Tomorrow would be his 70th birthday. Aww. So rather than being sad, I am going to celebrate dad tomorrow. So
celebration of life.
Happy birthday, Pop.
Happy birthday.
That is going to do it for us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. As I know, they will have reaction to some of the things Mark Dominic said earlier on our show, plus 2 days away from the draft. That is all next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.